Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Lord willing, the next 2 weeks we're going to look at verses 19 through 34 tonight, just 19 through 24. I had other things planned out for Wednesday night Bible studies for a few weeks, and then Sunday, Katie Mills saying, "Consider the lilies." And I haven't been able to think about anything else but those scriptures. We're actually not going to get to the heart of the exact connection of the song tonight. We'll do that next week. But this sure leads up to it as we talk about the warnings about wealth that Jesus gives. And of course, that tempts people to worry. And so the two will connect somewhat, but we will move on to verse 25 next week. Verses 19 through 24. Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Picture yourself as an impoverished prospector, tirelessly searching for fortune on your small farm in South Africa. Time frame, 1930s. And after a heavy storm, you walk up and down your property looking to see what maybe the rain washed the mud off of, or what the rain beat the mud down so something could surface. And you come across an unusual stone the size of a hen's egg. And as you wipe away the mud from the surface, it looks like you have found a diamond in the rough. And you take it and you run back to your family all excited over it. And a few days later, that's exactly what you found. And it's a 726-carat diamond worth $315,000 in the 1930s. I give those precise details, and even though I asked you to imagine that, that really happened for someone, to a poor prospector in Africa named Jacobus Jonker in the 1930s. That story in and of itself doesn't really go with what I'm talking about tonight, except for what I want to think about might have been the after effects of that. You know, so after he found that, I believe we all would think that he sold it and got the money for it. Then what? What happened next? They got rich and lived happily ever after. How do earthly things affect us? Is a good question to think about tonight. How does God affect us? Are we seeking the things of earth? earthly riches? Or are we seeking the things of God in heavenly riches? Christ expresses his concern to us here in what he's telling us about money and possessions and material things. Not that we shouldn't have houses and furnishings and automobiles, land, a garage, other things. But we are to guard against those things being the center of our lives. Why? Why do we need to guard against these things? I just mentioned things that most of us have. Guard against these things. Why? Well, there's no assurance as to how long we'll have them. It's for sure that we're not always going to have them because we're going to leave those things behind. The wealth of this world, it ages, it decays, it deteriorates, it wastes away. All wealth on earth is corruptible. It's temporary. Everything about the Lord and heaven and His heavenly riches, they are eternal. They are secure. They are forever. The things of earth are perishing. The things of heaven are permanent. So Jesus gives us a lesson here on temporal things and eternal things. And so in this, we're going to look at two kinds of riches. We're going to look at two kinds of hearts. And we're going to look at two kinds of masters. As we look at two kinds of riches, we're going to see those in verses 19 and 20, which we just read. Let me read them again. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. There's a natural desire for earthly riches. You know, clothes, cars, jewelry, toys, houses, buildings, pleasure, power, property, money. And we can keep making a list of those things that can dominate a person's life and really cause them to embrace those things. You know, the value of things in this world, man puts a price on them. As we consider inflation that doesn't make sense, we can't put a lot of stock in the prices man's putting on stuff these days. But it puts a level of value on them when man puts a price on it. And Jesus has something to say about these earthly things, though. And he's telling us, do not store up earthly riches. You know, our eyes, our minds, our energy is not to be so immersed and invested and consumed with fleeting things. You know, riches do exist, and there's some things that we believe we couldn't go without, and there's things that we all have and use. There is wealth on this earth. It's clearly stated here. And it can easily gain our attention. How do earthly things so easily gain our attention and even try to get our focus, even try to make material things like number one in our lives? There's a temptation for that. How do these things so easily gain our attention? Well, earthly riches they're seen. And we can put our hands on them. We can hold those things. They can be handled. People seek them diligently, and people have them. And other people look at those things, and there's the temptation that maybe they're real happy with those things, and I need to get more stuff like they do. So how does it gain our attention? We see people with all of these things in the world. How does it gain our attention? Because we just kind of overlap and we can go over the mark of the necessities we need in life. You know, there's clothing and there's food. There's things promised that we'll have. And then we go beyond that mark. Easily gets our attention. How does it get our attention? We're able to possess some of it right now. But we just need to remember that it's all corruptible. It's here for a brief time, and then it's gone. Something else about the wealth of this world, it is not secure. What we have can be stolen. I didn't know I was going to tell this, but it hits my mind, and I'm just going to do it because y'all are easy to preach to. We bought a blow-up snowman 1 year. Had it in the yard. My daughter's about 5 or 6, maybe. And we pulled back in the driveway, and it was gone. It wasn't deflated, laying on the ground. It was gone. And my daughter realized that, and crocodile tears came down her face. Ooh, that made me mad. Don't make my little bitty girl cry. So I went and bought another one, put my name on the bottom. I'm not saying that worked, but it didn't get stolen. What we have can be stolen. What we have, it wastes away. What we have cannot be taken with us when we leave this earth. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." Job chapter 20 verse 28 says, "The increase of his house shall depart, and his goods shall flow away in the day of his wrath." These things are corruptible. They're not secure, but people are after them. People are after them and wanting them, looking for wealth anyway. And Christ says, "He that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God." Just as there are earthly riches, hey, there are heavenly riches. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Never forget the first time I read that and then listened to Ephesians, the whole book of Ephesians, over and over. And in the beginning, in the third verse, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." There are heavenly riches. Amen. How about becoming a child of God? That's quite a heavenly rich thing to have. How about a blameless life? How about forgiveness of sins? How about wisdom? How about having the will of God made known to our lives? How about an eternal inheritance for God's people? How about the person of the Holy Spirit living within us, who is our comforter? And we could go on and on, and that'd be a good thing to do on another night, just to think about all of our heavenly riches that we have, counting those blessings. Granddaddy said it'd make you feel pretty good to count your blessings. in a tough time. A lot of blessings we have in heavenly riches. Jesus is telling us to lay up riches like that. Lay up riches according to those things. Be fixed and focused on those things, and we'll do the kind of things that's going to bring reward and riches to us in heaven. Heavenly riches are incorruptible. Earthly riches are corruptible. Heavenly riches, they are incorruptible. They are forever. They will not rust. They will not fade. They will not get holes in them. They will not be taken. They will not be stolen. We're to set our hearts on our heavenly inheritance. We're going to escape corruption one day. We need to have our minds on that. We need to have the things that fit what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's going to give us a glorified body forever. And He's going to give us treasures forever. That's where our hearts need to be. Heavenly riches are secure. No one can break in the door to heaven and take your spiritual riches away. No one can break over the spiritual dimension and take those things. They are safe for you. No one can pass over and rob you of those things. Everyone is seeking treasure, but we're going to have to decide which treasure we're going to seek. Jesus is guiding us and persuading us to seek the real lasting treasures, the treasures of heaven, not the fading wealth of this world. Luke chapter 14 and verse 33 says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." You might say, who's doing that? Well, you know what? We just sang some hymns, and I heard things like that from Christians who wrote songs about spiritual truth. And we've been singing those things for years. It's a reality. Christ and His riches must be our pursuit, not the things of this world. He's to be greater and more important than all of these other things. There's two kinds of riches. There's two kinds of hearts. Look in verse 21. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Whatever treasure we seek determines our heart. It's a reflection on our heart. The good heart seeks the Lord's treasures. The treasures of the Lord, that'll make your heart good. That's good for the heart. It's like the good eye. You know, whatever the eye looks at is what we think about. And what we think about becomes what we do. And what we do becomes who we are, in a sense. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." To look to Jesus Christ is to be full of light in our minds and in our heart. And the deeds are deeds of light that we do. The verse speaks of a single eye here. We're to have a single eye upon the Lord to set our hearts upon the will of God. What's an evil eye? Well, an evil eye is simply that eye that's not on God. That eye that doesn't look to the things of God. That eye that looks away. That eye that looks to temporal things. That eye that gives pleasure to the flesh. The eye illustrates the truth here. The healthy eye can see the truth and focus on it. The unhealthy eye is blind and in darkness and can't see the truth. The healthy eye is fixed on heavenly citizenship, citizens of heaven right now. And so we look home to headquarters by looking at the spiritual things of God, looking to our eternal treasures. Those things that are incorruptible, those things again that are secure, those things that Jesus is saying causes the whole body to be full of light, to have our whole being consumed with purpose. Things that cause more love and service for God. Jesus says, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Wow, I think about Paul saying, "But as for me, to live is Christ." And I have a real old commentary, and the pages, I have to open the pages carefully because they're so brittle that pieces of the paper will fall off. So I'm very careful with that book. And the fellow sounds like an old country boy. And what he says that Paul's saying there is, "Man, since I found Christ, I'm really living now." Rich living is in Jesus Christ. That's not just something the preacher ought to say. That's not just something we say and transfer from the Bible to one another. It's the truth. The richest living possible is a life that is lived in the will of God, that Jesus Christ is guiding us to here. Focus on those treasures in heaven. Looking to Jesus makes the heart good. The bad eye looks away from the Lord and lives in blindness. We're not to set our hearts upon earthly treasures again. Again, what's so bad about earthly treasures? How about this? They deceive. How do earthly treasures deceive us? Well, they're corruptible. They get worse and worse. They age. They deteriorate. Again, they're not protected. That's how it's deceiving. We don't think about that, but they're not protected. They get stolen. They get taken away. They get left behind. They get lost. They can cause a heart to become dark. Darkness sets in. They consume. They cause a person to despise God. It causes a person to be discontent. It causes a person to need more and more. Someone asked a rich man, "You know, when is it that you have enough money?" He said, "When you get that next dollar." So that continues. As in, he's admitting that it's never enough and never satisfies. So that'll make one always complain, no matter how many earthly riches they have. How about being scared to death to lose what one has? Years ago, a long time ago, in a little community, preacher's house burned down. And everybody found him coming into the neighborhood. Everybody knew what he drove. And they stopped him and they said, "Pastor, we got some bad news. Got some bad news for you. Your house is burned. I mean, it burned to the ground." And he said, "No, I'm going to have to correct you about that. That wasn't my house." "Oh, yeah, it was. It was your house. It burned to the ground. You're going to have to... How are you going to get another house, preacher?" He said, "Let me finish. My house didn't burn. That's God's house. He gave it to me. He'll give me another one." But those who have their that preacher truly had his heart fixed on spiritual treasures, heavenly rewards. But that's not the case with those who are focused on earthly treasures. And we will have the earthly treasure kind of heart. If we don't look to the things of God, and that's what we'll end up with. Two kinds of masters, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We've been looking at two different lives, if you will, two different lifestyles, two different passions, two different desires going through this. We have some important decisions to make. And how about which master we serve? They're both calling at the same time. Can't serve both of them. Can't go to both of them. You've got to go to one of them. We must choose one. And the one we choose, we love, Jesus says, and the one we don't choose, we hate. We're always going to serve a master, but which one? Either God in heaven or earthly material things. You know, a Christian might become wealthy with this earth's wealth and material things, but it should never be because of aim. God may bless with that. Because that can be used for His glory. That can be used for His work. That can be used for missionaries. That can be used for building church buildings. That can be used for making witnessing tracts. We do a lot of things with money in ministry. And so that can be given, but it can't be the all-consuming aim. Let us consider the warnings and the way God is leading on this subject in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. Verse 5. Perverse disputings of men among corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. One master might consist of riches and wealth, food for the belly, the evil lusting eye, the lust of the flesh, a leisurely life. The other master promises the necessities of life, that there can be an absence of anxiety, that there can be joy, contentment, an abundant life given by the master that is beyond compare. There's no choice. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. His riches are beyond compare. The heart we have is going to depend on the decisions we make concerning this that Jesus has laid out there. The heart that looks to Him is going to be the good heart. He's a great master, that we might serve Him with guarantees, with promises, with security, and with safety. How are we? No answer here, except for all of us at home maybe, or even right now in our hearts. How are we going to stay on guard and make sure that He's the one we serve, that He's our master? We have to remember that when the materialism, the things of this world, the riches of this world try to interrupt our spiritual life and take our minds off of our spiritual riches. Let's pray, and then immediately Master Clubs will be coming in. Jeff Smith, please close us in a word of prayer, sir.